Who's ever had that happen before? Surely somebody. Miss Kay, you wear contacts?
No, thank goodness, because that...
Would have happened, yeah. I'd probably forget to put them in, but... Somebody help me. It's beautiful. Martha Kay, thank you so much. I really appreciate it. She went, Martha Kay tends to get a little nervous in front of people for some reason, so she kind of, she gets real kind of clammish. Wants to lock up a little bit, but I was super proud of her that she was able to take that initiative and do that. If you have your Bibles, turn to Acts 3 this morning. And this is where I'm going to start off. I'm going to go ahead and... Did everybody get a bulletin this morning? That was the only thing we didn't ask. Brother Alvin, the insert that he was talking about, hopefully everybody grabbed one. If you didn't, they'll be right there on the table on your way out. Make sure you grab one, because like you said, the most important thing, the covenant prayers for the congregation, is stuff you can follow. And when in doubt, pray! That was the most beautiful part about it, is pray! Apparently he gets up a lot during the night, and he remembers to pray! You know, those are the things we need to do. So, hey, he had a good point. Thank you, Brother Alvin, for pointing that out to us. And today, we're going to look at the early church is where we're at in Acts 3. And I had a little outline in your bulletin also that says, Peter gave all he had, and was my first point, Peter gave God the glory, and they were committed to the way. And my fourth point was they all saw clearly is what they did when they started seeing Jesus at work. And that's not to say that they didn't happen to go. I know that sometimes we can cram a lot of stuff in a day, into a day that we do, and sometimes when we don't plan anything, it seems like everything could possibly happen. So let's open up with Acts 3 is where we're at. And I want you to look at verse 1 is what I want you to do in my first point. And it says, one day Peter and John were going up to the temple at the time of prayer at 3 in the afternoon. And now a man who was lame from birth was being carried to the temple gate called Beautiful, where he was put every day to beg from those going into the temple courts. And when he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. And Peter, looking straight at him, as did John, then Peter said, look at us. So the man gave him his attention, expecting to get something from him. Let's open up in prayer. Lord, as we look at your word this morning, Father God, open our eyes up, Lord, and help us to pay attention to you, Father God, as we see you moving among us, dear Lord, as we see your hand, Father God, because this is your church, dear Lord, and we just want to bring you honor and glory by you letting us participate in it, Father. I pray, God, that you'll be with us as we look at your word this morning. You'll help us to see how the early church operated and how we get an example of that operation, that we can take it, Lord, and apply it directly to us, Father. Lord, be with us as we just study your word, Father. These things I ask in your most precious and holy name. Amen. What was so that jumped out to me was, the first thing that jumped out to me in that set of scriptures was, one day, Peter and John will go into the temple at the time of prayer at 3 in the afternoon. The whole kicker is, all they were doing was going to the temple to pray. They weren't on a mission, and then all of a sudden you could see where things start to change. When Emily was a little girl, this was just, there's several of them. Miss Lisa Davis is here, she can attest to this. We spent a lot of time in the ER. I mean, goodness gracious, it seemed like we were there all the time. Between four kids, and they were all really rough and outsides, you know, they liked to play and just everything. It seemed like for all reasons, we were ended up going to the emergency room. One day, we had gotten up, it was a Saturday morning, and I thought, okay, well, it's our normal Saturday, let me get on my aerator, and I'm gonna go cut some grass, you know, shed those pounds away. We had gotten on the, I wasn't wearing it, I'm just kidding. But before I had gotten on my lawnmower, Emily came up to me, and she had been playing in the yard. We had a little basketball goal, and she had came to me and she said, Daddy, I'm bleeding. I said, what? How? You were just right there in front of me. All you did was go down there and pick up a ball. And she said, no, I'm hurt. I said, what happened? And she said, here. She showed me her hand, and there was a big old cut right across all those tendons right there. And it was a deep cut, too. You remember this, Emily? It was a deep cut. And I was like, and there was blood everywhere. And I was like, oh my goodness. So I put a bandage over it and I took her inside and got in Tanya and I said, look at her hand. What has happened? I mean, all I was going to do, I hadn't fired up the lawnmower yet. So I didn't know her granddaddy was cutting grass on the other side. And what had happened was when Emily was going down there to pick up a ball with both hands, when she picked it up like this, the rock came right across her hand that discharged out of that lawnmower and had cut her back. And so with blood all over her little fingers and everything, we bandaged that thing up, ran her to the ER, and said, my goodness, all we were going to do was cut grass. Now, you're talking about one bad-feeling granddaddy. I'm going to be honest with you. He took that to heart. He didn't like that. I even think he probably got rid of that mower after that, it seemed, or put another protection on her or something so nothing could discharge. But the point was, we weren't planning on doing that day. That's exactly what I see Peter and John in the words. They were doing was looking around. Look at what verse 6 says when I said, Peter gave all that he had. It said, then Peter said to the man, he said, silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have, I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk. So it says, 7 says, taking him by the right hand, he helped him up, and instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. He jumped to his feet and began to walk. And then he went with them into the temple courts, walking and jumping and praising God. And when all the people saw him walking and praising God, they recognized him as the same man who used to sit begging at the temple gate called Beautiful. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. The only thing that happened to him was Peter and John had paid attention to what was right in front of them and helped him. Now, just like the Lauren Daigle song, just like everything that we've talked about this morning with our day of service coming up and everything we're doing, all we're asking is that you just keep your eyes open and look around for ways to serve God through whatever the case may be, through the baking of a cookie, by the visiting of a home, whatever the case may be, always keep your eyes open to what's right in front of you. And what was so good was, look at the second part right there where it says, Peter gave God the glory. And he says, number 11 says, while the man held on to Peter and John, all the people were astonished and came running to them at the place called Solomon's Colonnade. And so when Peter saw this, he said to them, fellow Israelites, why does this even surprise you? Why do you stare at us as if it's by our own power or godliness that we've made this man walk? The God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, the God of our fathers has glorified his servant Jesus. You handed him over to be killed and you disowned him before Pilate, though he had decided to let him go. You disowned the holy and righteous one and asked that a murderer be released to you. You killed, look at what 15 says, you killed the author of life, but God raised him from the dead. We are witnesses of this. While the man held on to Peter and John, he was so excited that he had been healed, and it was all done by Jesus. It says, Peter, when Peter spoke to him, By faith in the name of Jesus, this man whom you see and know was made strong. It is Jesus' name and the faith that comes through him that has completely healed him, as you can all see. Their day was really pepping up is what he was doing. They started off just going to the temple to pray that afternoon, but look at what all is transpiring. All because they saw a man there and they didn't ignore him. They went right up to him and spoke to him. And he says, and expect him to get money. He healed him. He gave him something so much better. It says, and to keep in mind, too, with the Holy Spirit has just came, and we've actually preached on this before, I have, on Acts 1 and 2, this was the early church. Jesus has been just taken up into heaven. This is where they're all coming together, and their numbers are multiplying is what we're doing. They're growing and growing and growing. Just like it. Just like you said. Just like when Brother Alvin talked earlier about how we want the will of God to be done. That's exactly where we want God to be done. I'm super impressed, or I'm excited about the number of people who are here today. I hope that next week there would be even more. You would be growing is what you would be doing. But it ain't nobody growing it. It ain't us. It's God growing it is what it is, because he's the one who sent in the people. That's right. And it would be different if we could go. We've talked about this before, too. It'd be different if we could go to each and everybody's house every morning. I could ring that door at 8 o'clock, and I'd say, here's your sausage biscuit. Come on, get on up. Let's go to church. Encourage them along that way. That would be a wonderful thing, but that don't happen because we're too busy getting ourselves ready for church. You see what I'm saying? We're too busy getting ready to preparing ourselves to come to God's house is what we're doing. They were always looking out for it. They were, look at what Acts 4 says. They were committed to the way of what it was done. Now look at what's happened to them. Peter's done explained everything that's happened to them, and it says, look at what 4 says right there. 4:12, as a matter of fact. It says, well, hold on, I want to back up just one or two verses before that to 10. Because it says, look at, he says, then know this. You and all the people of Israel, it is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead, that this man stands before you healed. 11 says, Jesus is the stone that you builders rejected, which has become the cornerstone. And salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved. 13 says, when they saw the courage of Peter and John, and realized that they were unschooled, ordinary men, they were astonished and took note that these men had been with Jesus. It's amazing. Let me look at that again. They were unschooled. They were ordinary men. So that tells me that they're just like me and you. We're ordinary people, right? We're all ordinary. But that doesn't mean we don't have different talents. That doesn't mean that we don't have different gifts. That doesn't mean that when we come together as God's people and we pray, when we come together as God's people, things start happening when we start looking towards Christ. It's amazing that they did the same exact thing. And it says, what are we going to do? 16 says, what are we going to do with these men, they asked. Everyone living in Jerusalem knows that they have performed a notable sign, and we cannot deny. But to stop this thing from spreading any further among the people, we must warn them to speak no longer to anyone in this name. And then 18 says, then they called them in again, and they commanded them not to speak at all in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John replied, which is right in God's eyes, to listen to you or to listen to him? That's amazing when they said that they weren't going to listen to what man said, but they were going to follow exactly what Christ does. And it says, when they heard this, they raised their voices together in prayer. Sovereign Lord, they said, you made the heavens and the earth and the sea and everything in them. You spoke by the Holy Spirit through the mouth of your servant, our father David. It says, why did nations rage and the people plot in vain? The kings of the earth rise up and the rulers band together against the Lord and against his anointed one. Everything that was happening to him was beginning to be ever so clear is what he was doing. And it said, everyone that was living had known what had happened. They had turned that day into basically the biggest witness, or one of the biggest witnesses they had seen, because 5,000 more had come to know Christ that day. Their number was growing. Their number was multiplying. When has it been? I know y'all saw on the news this week, and Leslie and I were talking about it too. Did y'all see the woman? It was from Texas, right? That was where it was. It was from Texas, who had gone in and had basically got into her apartment and had went into the wrong apartment and shot a man sitting on the couch, and had to go to court and had to go to trial, and she was seen guilty of it. She made a mistake. But the man's brother, did y'all see that when he was on the stand? He said, I forgive you for what you've done. And I just want you to know that Jesus Christ also forgives you, also loves you. And he had a short little testimony about it. And when they had actually done it, they said the man was so introverted that his mother could not believe that he had even done anything to that remote. But when he was put on the spot, and think about that, that little TV thing you saw reached millions and millions of people. How far it spread out, how far it spread on. All I'm saying is, a lot of times when we get up in the morning, and a lot of times when we start our day, sometimes I think I tend to plan it out. And I tend to say, I'm going to do this, and 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 I'm going to do this. I'm going to run these errands. I'm going to get all this accomplished. Check, 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 check. And sometimes I never look up. Sometimes I never check up. And I think that's what I'm telling you to do. When we see those opportunities, keep your eyes open to what's right in front of you. Day of prayer, a day of service today that we're doing this afternoon. There's been a lot of sweet little things mentioned that I'm excited that we get to be a part of. Baking cookies, whatever it might be. Whatever, I've even heard of a couple of them redoing a front porch, you know, like putting some flowers out because it's a fall setting. Something sweet is what it is. But you know what the main thing is doing? It's letting people know that you're willing to help them. You're willing to help them for the sake of God is what you're doing. Because if we look at what an action-filled day looks like, it was when the disciples took the action off of themselves and they put it all on Jesus. Let me say that a little bit better. Instead of putting the action on, instead of being so closed-minded to exactly what Peter and John wanted to do that day, they opened their eyes to what was around them. And when they saw a need, they helped. That is what it basically goes down to. It was ever so clear to each and every one of them. In 4, 23 through 27, it says, stay with me on there. It says, on their release. Okay, so after further, they let Peter go. They couldn't decide how to punish because all the people were praising God for what had happened. The man who was miraculous healed was over 40 years of age. Unbelievable. And then 23 picks up. It says, on their release, Peter and John went back to their own people and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said to them. When they heard this, look at what 24 says. When they heard this, they raised their voices together in prayer to God. Sovereign Lord, they said, you made the heavens and the earth and the sea and everything in them. You spoke by the Holy Spirit through the mouth of your servant, our father David. And it says, it's amazing that everything that they had been, I read the wrong set of scriptures to y'all. I messed that up so bad. The believers shared their position. I was supposed to be at 32. That's where I was supposed to be. 432. I'm so sorry. I messed up. It said, the believers share their possessions. All the believers were in one heart and one mind. No one claimed that any of their possessions was their own, but they shared everything they had. With great power, the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And God's grace was so powerfully at work in them all. And that after there were no needy persons among them. From time to time, those who owned land or houses sold them, brought the money from the sales, and put it at the apostles' feet. And it was distributed to anyone who had a need. And it says, to end it up right there in 36, it says, Joseph and Levi from Cyprus, whom the apostles called Barnabas, which means son of encouragement, sold a field he owned and brought the money and put it at the apostles' feet. They were all so together in just glorifying Jesus is what they were doing. All they did, they gave all they had. They gave all the glory to God. They were committed to the way. They were committed to Jesus because everything they were doing, it was all so, so clear to them is what it was. And it makes a lot of sense, too, when we go to start our days, when we cram too much in, it's amazing how a lot of times God will stop us. Just like I told you about the story about Emily cutting her hand. My day wasn't supposed to be spent at the hospital, but when it did end up at the hospital, all I did was see that's where I was that day. That's exactly what God had planned for me. open your eyes to what is definitely right around you. Open your eyes to what, instead of seeing or being closed-minded, be open-minded and keep your eyes on what's right in front of you, that you can see exactly where. Where we get a wonderful thing of where the new church is saying, we're sharing our possessions, we're sharing everything we've got. God gets all the glory. Their vision was wide open, is what is what was so wonderful. It says, when I walk out the door and I begin to my day, I look for the Lord in all and everything. I did a paper this week that I've been working on for several days. It's a big one that's due right here at the end of my schooling and stuff. And they had asked me the point of, or they had asked the question like, how do you know, I ain't going to say that, I ain't going to get into the theology of it, but it said, how do you know that this is true? And they said, what would you do if you saw a friend walking home from one, or y'all were walking back from class one night, and he turned to you, and in the midst of he had a struggle, and he says he's starting to lose his way, or starting to doubt God's word is what he was starting to do. And 2 Timothy 3:14 through 17 came to my mind when I read about it. I know it says, but as for you, this was Paul talking to Timothy, he says, but as for you, continue on what you have learned and you have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you learned it. And now from infancy, you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. 16 says, all of Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. 17 says, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Every good work. Every, not some, every good work. What is God calling you? What is God showing you to do? Open your eyes to what's right around you. Theresa passed out the thing about a week ago from Brother Hayward about the 2020 vision. So beautiful. And yet it's so true that we see it. We need to keep our eyes open for what's coming down the line, for what's right in front of us at all times. As we start our days, as you start your day one today, as we start this afternoon, we've got several people going to the association for the annual conference. We've got several people just going out to serve. Keep your eyes open to what's right in front of you. Always be ready. Always be prepared. Always be looking for Jesus. Amen. Lord, we love you and we thank you, God, for all that you do in our lives, Lord, for all the blessings you give us. Father, help us to keep our focus, dear Lord, right where it needs to be. And God, and that's on you, Lord, and what we can do for you. Lord, thank you, Lord, for sending your Son, Jesus, who died on the cross, Father God, for me. I pray, Lord, that you'll be with us, dear God, as we go out and we look for ways to serve you this afternoon, God. Go ahead and prepare the hearts of those, dear Lord, whether they might receive a cookie or a visit, a hug, whatever, dear God. Let you shine through us, Lord. In everything that we say, Lord, and everything that we do, I pray, Lord, that it brings you honor. Lord, I love you and I thank you. These things I ask in your most precious and holy name. Amen.